Please be seated. Let's pray together. It is well, Lord God, with our souls. We sing about that today. We rejoice that you care about our souls. We are so thankful that we can be here today. We come with our hearts open, desiring to hear from you. We come with our minds centered and concentrated, ready to hear from you through song, through the word, and through the people that in and around us. Lord, we know when we come to you, it is well with our soul. It is well because you know the innermost depths of our hearts. And today, Lord, as we gather and sing and worship, we ask, Lord, you would give us new peace in our souls. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And all of God's people said, amen. It's a very special day in our church today. I'm Keith Harcombe, and your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we have new members joining this Sunday. And Lisa Ferguson is with us to join at this service. In our last service, we had three people, and Lisa is joining today at this service, only one person, so she needs a really good round of applause to welcome her to the platform. Come on up.
Come on up.
Welcome, Lisa. Please stand here. So glad you could be here today. This is Lisa, and she's joining our church by profession of faith today, so we're excited to have her. Lisa's going to have some things to respond to, and as you know, the church will respond in support of her as she joins the church today for the first time. So we've got some questions for you. I'm going to hand over to Jessica, our communications director. She's going to ask some questions, and I'll ask you some. Thanks so much.
Just waiting there.
Okay.
On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you reject the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do.
Do
you accept the freedom and power of God it gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do.
According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful to your church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? If so, say, I will. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will.
I will.
As members of this congregation, both for Lisa and for you, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will.
I will.
I will. Good. All of us, members of the household of God, I commend this person to you, Lisa, and to your love and care. Will you do all in your power to increase her faith, to confirm their hope, and perfect her in love? Will you be a people who are passionate about doing this? If so, say, yes.
Yes.
Good. That was better than the slide. Let's say these words together. We give thanks for all that God has already given you. And we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to faithfully participate in the ministries of Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. By our prayers, by our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, and that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let's welcome Lisa to the chairs. Round of applause.
Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. We're so glad to have you.
Well, this is such an exciting weekend. We have new members joining today, and yesterday we packed 1,500 shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child.
Right.
that talk about passionate participation, commitment to missions, it was all right there. Don't worry, if you didn't get to pack your shoebox yesterday, that's quite okay. Shoeboxes are available in the multipurpose room and out in front of the church office the entire month of October, so you still have some time. I hope that you all have grabbed your Sunday bulletin either in the lobby or at phumc.net. It is packed with some wonderful things. There's a few things I do want to highlight for you. Today, the Blood Mobile is out in the Belcher parking lot until 1 o'clock. So if you would like to save a life and give some blood, please go and knock on their door until 1 o'clock. They will be happy to assist you. On the 23rd of October is our second annual Trunk or Treat. Last year, we had an overwhelming response from the community, and this year, we know we are going to as well. So if you would like to decorate a trunk or donate some candy, let us know. You can contact myself or Missy Thomas, who is our director of our children's ministry. That event will start at 5:30 on the 23rd. The very next day, Sunday, the 24th, we are going to have our fall beach baptism at Sunset Beach. That's right. At Sunset Beach in Tarpon Springs at 6 o'clock. If you would like to be baptized for the first time or would like to renew your faith in Jesus Christ, please call Pastor Keith and he will make sure to meet with you and make that happen. For everybody else, we'd love for you to come out to Sunset Beach on the 24th and just be right there with us as we encourage those new members in Christ's family. At this time, ushers come down. As they're coming down, I want to share something with you that is not in the bulletin. Next Sunday, in between services, we are going to have a very special get-together in the multipurpose room. And yes, there will be cake. So we are going to honor all of our past staff members and our pastors for Pastor Appreciation Month of October. And we want to say that we appreciate you. It was so hard to do all of that during COVID, so we want to make sure that that occurs. So next Sunday, in between services in the multipurpose room. Right now, we're going to have the ushers pass the plate, and it's time for our offerings and tithes. There are many ways that you can do this, not only through the ushers, but our beautiful wooden boxes in the lobby. You can text your giving. You can go on to phumc.net, and you can also mail in your offering as well. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the open-hearted generosity that you have for all of our members and everyone that can hear our voice. It is because of that that we are able to get farther into the community and share your love with all of those people. We want to make sure that we can lead as many people to a life-changing relationship with you as we possibly can. And these tithes and offerings allow us to do so. In your name we pray. Amen.
I wonder what your greatest fear is. What is it that you fear the most? I wonder if it's the same as the top 10 in all of the United States of America. And I'm going to give you three of them, and you can raise your hand if you want, if you are resonating with some of these top 10 fears. First, we have arachnophobia. Yeah. Some of you are like, yeah, the fear of spiders. Yeah, and then the second one is aerophobia, which is the fear of heights. Yeah, maybe some of you have that. And the other one is, is, a, is something a little different, tyrannophobia, which is the fear of injections. Yeah, I have to look that one up. Thank you, Google. But seriously, what is it that you fear? Over these next 4 weeks, we will be doing a series here at Palm Harbor on Do Not Fear. And we'll be looking in our Bibles where it talks about ghosts, it talks about dead men raises, people having visions of angels, and also a vision of skeletons joining together in an army. Our Bible is kind of scary. But seriously, what do you fear? Maybe it's something more than just spiders or heights or injections. Maybe you have a significant fear about what's going on in your workplace right now. Maybe there's someone you have to work with that you can't stand working with, and that something like happens inside of you every time you are around this person. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's in your family that you have fears every time you get together with them that one time a year in Thanksgiving. Amen? Maybe it's about finances. Maybe you have a constant fear about having to pay for something that you can't afford. Maybe the debt is getting more and more and the income is coming less and less. What is it that you fear? For me, when I was a teenager, I feared what other people said about me. I feared that people were judging me all the time for my little mistakes I always made. For all the times I was clumsy, for all the times that I did things that everybody could laugh at. And so I made up a video in my head of people gathering together in a movie theater, watching my clumsy mistakes. And every week, they would come on, hey, the announcer would come on, today, Keith Harcum will now present how he fell down the stairs while carrying a bucket of water. And everybody laughed just like you did. Yeah, like, ha, 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 look at Keith, he's such an idiot. And everybody would watch this and laugh at the same time. And the people in the audience were people that I was trying to impress that I didn't really like anyway. And they didn't like me. And it was a multiplex theater. You know, there was more than just one movie. There was other ones, reruns of previous mistakes that I did. It's a smoky old theater and people just sitting there laughing at the silly things that I did and my clumsy mistakes. And I lived in fear of what I was doing. I lived in fear of upsetting other people. And I made things up. It's funny, the things we do with our fears, is it not? It's amazing the way these fears have a purchase on our life. The way they become prominent in the decisions that we make and the lifestyle that we live. There were some very real fears in our scripture reading today. The disciples were out on Lake Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, Lake Tiberias, and on the lake in the boat, and the wind started to come, and the waves started to come over the boat, and they were living in fear. They literally thought they were going to die, and they were living in fear on their little boat. But before we get to the story of the disciples in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, we have to talk about what happened with Jesus. Jesus was upset, and he's trying to get away from some of the things that have happened in his life. John the Baptist, his cousin, had just been murdered, and he was sad. And so he tried to get away. In fact, he got in a boat with the disciples and went across the other side of Lake Gennesaret. And he got to the other side, and when he got there, guess who was there? More people. In fact, 5,000 men. In fact, more than 5,000 men, 10,000 people wanting to be fed in here and wanted to be fed here too. Jesus, full of grace and mercy and compassion, fed them and taught them. And taught the disciples at the same time what they should be doing with what they've been given. And he fed the 5,000. And that's where we are in our text right now. He tried to get away from the news about John the Baptist. And he's just fed the 5,000 after trying to get away. So we're in Matthew chapter 14. It's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew is the first story, the first testimony we have about Jesus. So if you've got a Bible, go there. If you've got an app on your phone, look it up and go to Matthew 14. And we're going to start at verse 22. If you're online, just open up another tab there. Give you some time to do that. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. It starts out immediately after this. Immediately after the fact that he just fed 5,000. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. So the disciples were sent away by Jesus. In fact, it says he insisted that they go away in the boat. Jesus knew that the authorities were excited that Jesus could feed everybody, and they were going to set them up as the new politicians to set up a place where they could feed people. And Jesus knew this, and he knew that the disciples were going to be impacted by this, and he sent them away immediately. And he sent them away in a boat. Jesus says, you go away. I still need to get some time alone here. And it says it was evening. It takes a long time to feed people. It was evening. Now, you have to imagine what the Sea of Galilee looks like. It's a large bowl inside in Israel. It's 700 feet below sea level, and it sits below. And so when Jesus went up to pray on the hillside, he could look down and see the boat on the lake. You could look around the Sea of Galilee. You can see into the sea. And the disciples were on the boat, and he was praying. It was late at night. He was praying all night, and he was probably a little tired. He was there alone. The writer of Matthew brings us to what's going on the lake. Meanwhile, the disciples are in the boat. They're in the boat, and the wind and the waves is tossing them around. It must be really bad for the writer of the gospel to tell us what is going on. And you can imagine the wind howling around and the waves tossing over the bows of the boat and the shackles and the fishing tackles just going everywhere. They were in the boat, and they were scared. They were fearful. They were worried about what was going on. A strong wind had risen, and they were fighting the heavy waves. They were paddling and trying to set the sail to try and get back into land. There was a heavy storm. Verse 25 says, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came forward towards them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Imagine the scene, if you will. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. It is dark. It is windy. There are waves coming over the boat. It's misty as the boat keeps slapping on the waves like that. You ever been on a boat? They're probably seasick as the boat's slamming on the waves. They're worried for their lives. And then all of a sudden, there's a figure in front of them, a wispy man in front of them. And the boat's going up and down. The boat's going up and down like this. And they're like, "What? What is that?" They say, "Oh, it's a ghost." It's a ghost. That doesn't mean an evil spirit. It doesn't mean an angel. Angels are great big men in the Bible, by the way. They're not these like things we see on the TV, wings on the great big men. They say it's a phantasm. The Greek word is phantasm is where we get phantom. And it's this wispy thing in front of them. There's mist everywhere. And they're wondering like, what the heck? It's a ghost. The disciples are screaming out. The boat's bouncing up and down. And they look, and there's a man standing in front of them. And all of a sudden, a voice cancels out the apparition before them. The voice cancels out the wispy kind of image before them. The voice cancels out all the fear. And he says, take courage, or do not fear, or fear not. I am here. In fact, Jesus says right there, I am here. And the disciples who are well knowledgeable in the Old Testament hear something that God always says about himself. When he spoke to Abraham, he says, I am here. When he spoke to Moses in the bush, he says, I am here. When he spoke to anybody else in the Old Testament, he would say, I am. I am here. I'm the one who set you free from Israel. I parted the Red Sea. I can surely make my son walk on the water and turn that water into ice so he can be there for you. I am here, amen? I am here. And disciples are like, what is this? 3 o'clock in the morning, it's dark, and they're in fear. He says, take courage. Take courage. Then Peter called to him, the leader of the disciples, the one who was de facto leader. Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Jesus says, yes, come. Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. So Peter sees Jesus on the water. If it's really you, I want a bit of that action. The extrovert, the one that wants to be in on everything. Peter, the de facto leader, he's like, tell me, Jesus, to come on. So he steps out the boat. Waves are bouncing everywhere. Steps out the boat, steps on to the water. He's looking up at Jesus. He looks at Jesus before him, and as he looks at him, he looks around at everything else going on. He looks at the waves. He looks at the wind and the wispiness going up. It's dark. He can barely see Jesus anyway. And he begins to sink. He begins to sink into the water. In all the bodies of water I've ever been in my 14 years in the Royal Navy, in every sea I've been in every river I've been in every lake, in every ocean that I have traveled, in every small river that I've ever stepped in out of a vessel or out of the boat, I've never begun to sink. I've always been sunk. Step in the water, you sink. I'm sure all of you agree. When Peter stepped in the boat and he looked at Jesus, and then he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at his fears around him, and he looked at everything that was going on, the wind, the waves, the wispiness, the darkness around him, he begins to sink. What does Jesus do next? What does Jesus do as he watches one of the disciples, one of his three disciples who was so close to, one of the people he'd fed into all his life? What does Jesus do? Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Before he did that, as he looked at the wind and the waves, as he looked at his fear around him, he realized that He realized that there was nothing he could do anymore to fix his fears. There was nothing that he could do anymore to fix his worries and problems and the waves going around him. There was nothing that he could do anymore creatively, strategically, self-help books, anything. There was nothing he could do anymore. And he looked up to Jesus and said to him, Lord, save me. It's noisy, it's windy, it's tumultuous. The sea is smashing against the boat. He says, Lord, save me. Can you hear me? I'll say it again. Lord, save me. Jesus reaches out. He reaches out and he grabs him. Verse 31. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. In this one verse, it gives us all the theology we ever need. In this one verse is this beautiful moment where Jesus does one action and says two things. He reaches out to his friend, to his disciple, to the person he's been with the last couple of years. And he says to him, I'm here with you. I'm on the same waves as you. I'm in your fears with you. And he reaches out to him and says to him, you have little faith. He says, you're not trusting in me. Now, these two phrases are not things we put on posts, on Facebook posts, on social media to make people feel bad about their choices. These are pronouncements of Jesus. They are encouragements to Peter that say, Peter, you're putting more focus on your worries than you are on me. Your fears have wavered in your faith on me. Your fears and all these things around you are outgoing your trust in me. Peter, remember, trust in me. Trust in what I have done in you. Trust in what I have said to you. Often, in popular theology, we think that when we trust Jesus or we decide to follow Jesus, decide to become a Christian, decide to join the church, that everything's just going to be peachy, right? Everything's just going to be great and everything's just going to be plain sailing. We think we're going to go from glory to glory to glory. Amen? No. I was at a retreat, a conference, a revival of sorts 2 weeks ago. And one of the guys speaking there was Alan Hood. Alan Hood was the executive director of IHOP, International House of Prayer, for many years. And he was talking about being a follower of Jesus. What's the process of being a follower of Jesus? We think it's from glory to glory to great speaker. He said, we're from glory to glory to glory. When actually, let's look at Jesus. Let's see what his process was. He faced his fears, and he was persecuted, and he was killed, and then he was met and put on a cross, and then he was resurrected. Even Jesus didn't go from glory to glory to glory. What fears are you dealing with today? What concerns do you have about your workplace? What worries do you have about your family? What fears grip you and possess you and make decisions for you? Jesus says, he's not in a big boat. He's not in a big cruise ship going, hey, you want a hand up? No, he's stepping on the waves and he's here with you and saying, hey, trust in me. Trust in me. I'm going to be the one that is here for you through your pains, through your fears. We often think that we'll just stay on new ground. God's going to give us new ground. He's going to help us to find new ground in our lives, when actually we need to go underground to find new ground. Sometimes we need to sink so we can rise up above the waves. Sometimes we need to find Jesus in and amongst our fears. And what happened when Peter did that? When Sam and Peter got back into the boat, the wind moved from the east, and which had dug up this great swell. It moved from the east and moved to the north, and it was calm. Not perfect, calm. Jesus wants to meet you in your fears today. Jesus, looking like a ghost, wants to meet you in your fears. And your fears are real. Your fears are real. My fears are real. But sometimes all of our great organization, all of our great strategies, all of our great creative thinking, all of our best practices are just not enough. And eventually, we're standing outside the boat, beginning to sink. And the only thing left to say is, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, save me in my fears. Jesus comes to you today on the waves. He comes to you on the waters of your fear and says, I want to be there for you. Cry out to Jesus today, and he will meet you in your fears. Gracious and heavenly Father, we come to you today with our fears. We come to you today with our concerns. You know them. You know them. You meet us on our waves. You meet us amidst the rain and tumultuous events that we are going through. You meet us in the darkness at 3 a.m. in the morning. And Lord, we bring them before you this morning. And we're kind of done with all our best practices and the way we've normally done it. And we cry out to you, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Speak to us today, Lord, mightily. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen.